Welcome to Benefit from the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we come to the sermon tonight, we are thinking about a spiritual battle. As we think about battles in general, let's go from the physical over to the spiritual. So we're really so blessed in America in the fact that we have not really had a battle on our soil for a long time. Now, we could go back to 2001 and say we had somewhat of a battle on our soil. The enemy did engage us, but the enemy also killed themselves, so we had no one to really engage in that battle. We really have to go back to December 7th, 1941, when we were attacked by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor, to really go back to somewhat of a war, a legitimate war, on American soil. So we're so blessed in that regard. When we think about Pearl Harbor, we had the ships, we had the troops, we had the planes, we had everything we needed, but the problem was we didn't know the enemy was coming. We were unprepared, and we took many casualties. A very sad day in our history. We don't want that to happen spiritually. It's sad when it happens in a physical battle. It's even worse when it happens in a spiritual battle. I want to tell you a little bit what the Bible says about this spiritual battle if we go to Revelation chapter 12 for a moment. So Revelation chapter 12, really in that one chapter, it is describing from the coming of Christ all the way to the end of the world in that one chapter. So it's talking about how from the church is going to come the Savior, and the devil was right there, and his plan was, as soon as the Savior comes, just like that, I'm going to devour him so he can't save anybody. But he failed. Because the Savior came, he lived, he died, he rose, he ascended, he did his work, so the devil failed at that. So the devil was getting more upset now. And the devil said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something significant, and I'm going to wipe out every believer in the entire world in one swoop. So the devil makes an effort at that, but God intervenes, and God saves the church. So now the devil's even more furious. So the devil said, okay, I'm going to try that again. So again, he tries in one move to be able to take out every believer in the entire world. And again, God intervenes and God saves the church. And then we come to this passage in Revelation where it says, then the dragon, that is the devil, became furious and went off to make war on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's us. According to our new nature, we desire to keep the commandments of God, even though we fall short. That is our desire. And we hold to the testimony of Jesus. We admit that we are sinners. We admit that Jesus is the very Son of God. And by God's grace, we are trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we are the very ones that the devil is furious about, and we are the very ones that he is trying to devour. So with that in mind, I want to lay out what we're going to look at here. So in the first part, we need God's strength against the devil, not our strength, but his. Number two, we need God's armor against the devil. So there we're focusing on defense. And then part three, we need God's weapons against the devil. So there we're focusing on offense. Going back to the first part, let's think for a moment about who the devil is. So let me give you six or eight lines from the Bible that will give us kind of a picture of the devil. So the Bible says that he has been sinning from the beginning. He tempted Eve, and sadly, she fell. He tempted Jesus, and we praise God, he did not fall. The devil is described as the one that prevents the seed of God's word from taking root in a person's heart unto eternal life. You ever had that situation where, like, you know someone and you sense that they're not in Christ You share the Word of God with that person, and yet it seems to have no effect. Why is that? Because the devil is right there, ready to snatch away that Word of God before it can take root and grow and mature unto eternal life. The devil is there, and he's at work. Also, too, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He is the deceiver of the whole world. But eventually, though, the Bible says in Revelation 20 that he will be cast into the lake of fire. So we know what his end is, and he knows it too. But while he has opportunity, he's going to do everything he can to take as many of us with him to that lake of fire. With that in mind, let's get into the text. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6, picking up in verse 10. St. Paul wrote to those in Ephesus, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." So we might say, okay, Paul, how do we do that? Paul tells us, put on the whole armor of God. We might say, okay, Paul, why should we do that? He tells us that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In a sense, here in verses 10 and 11, that's a summary of the entire sermon. Going on to verse 12, it tells us the fierceness, if you will, of the enemy that we're up against. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we're not up against the lower forces of evil. We are up against like the upper forces of evil. God wants us to know that reality. When I was looking at this, one word caught my attention here. It says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against these forces of evil. If you're wrestling, that's up close, that's personal, that's like hand-to-hand combat. Then in verse 13, starts off with the word therefore. The idea is because these evil forces are so strong, therefore, what should we do? Take up the whole armor of God. Why should we do it? That we may be able to withstand in the evil day. So now that we know that it is important, what is this armor of God? We come to that here in part two. When we come to the armor is a good thing to have, but it is vital, though, that we know all the ins and outs about it. We have to know how to use it. As I think about Darren, he volunteered for the Marine Corps. So they didn't say to him, show up at this place. On one day, we'll just give you all the equipment. We'll give you the armor, the weapons, the boots, the whole thing. And then the next day, we'll send you out. That's not what they did. Praise God, they didn't do that. So he could have had all the stuff he needed, but he might not know quite how to put it on or how to use it, and that wouldn't be a good thing. So it's so important that we have all those things that we need, but then we need to be very skilled at how to use them. So let's go on now to verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So as I go through here, we'll try to identify what some of these things are. So with the belt of truth, when I think about truth, I'm thinking about the Bible. So God wants us to surround ourselves with his truth so that we are not deceived. How does the devil work? He wants to deceive us, but if we well know the truth, we're not going to be very easily deceived. Also, too, it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So in this area of our body is where our most vital organs are, so that needs to be protected with a shield. Well, what does God do? He gives us a breastplate of righteousness. That would be the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. Without that, our sins will overcome us. But with the breastplate of righteousness, then our sins can no longer harm us because Jesus Christ, he has won the victory over sin. And he's given us that protection. And then it talks about having shoes for our feet. And those give us the readiness of being able to take this gospel and to move forward. So when we think about a soldier having boots, he can move forward into any situation. And here, though, I think the idea is that God is talking here about the assurance of our salvation. So when we have the assurance of our salvation, that allows us to step in really difficult situations in a wonderful way. And then it goes on to say in 16, in all circumstances, having taken up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So back around the time the Bible was written, have you ever seen those real old movies where you see, you know, the two big armies and they're gathered against each other and these guys are like warriors of old, and over on this side they have like 2,000 archers and they've got their arrows and they're going to dip those arrows maybe in tar or something, and they're not only going to shoot these arrows but they're going to be flaming arrows. And the guys on the other side, they have these giant shields, and when they see the arrows come, they're down like this with their shield so that the arrows can hit the shield but it cannot harm them. That's what it's talking about here. That's the picture. That was a reality back at that time when the Bible was written, so they understood very much what that was talking about. So God wants us to know that with the shield of faith, we can withstand these arrows from the devil. And then I want to correct something here a little bit when we get to verse 17. In the ESV, it says, take the helmet of salvation. But the Greek word we have there, it can be translated take, but it's not the best translation. Really, it should be translated receive, is really the gist of that word. You might say, what's the difference, Pastor? Whether we take it, receive it, what does it matter? If we're taking it, the emphasis is on us. If we are receiving it, the emphasis is on the one who is giving it. So God wants us to understand that when it comes to salvation, we don't have the ability to take it, but God is there giving it to us, and God is even enabling us to be able to receive it. So that's the better translation, to say and receive the helmet of salvation. So with the things we've looked at here in the second part, these are things that deal with the armor. So God has covered us in every way that we need to be covered with his armor. And now in the third part, we go on to the weapons that we need in order to be able to do some offense against the devil. So going on now to the second part of verse 17, we don't have the word receive in the text again, but we do have the implication that we are receiving the helmet of salvation. We are also receiving the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Then it talks about praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. What that reminds me of here with the Word of God, do you remember there in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus said to his followers, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded back and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to Peter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus was saying to Peter, hey, that's a great answer, but you didn't figure that out. God is the one who gave you that answer. So anytime that I'm preaching or teaching, anytime I'm sharing anything rightly with you from the Word of God, that's not because I dug in there and I was smart and I took it and I figured it out. It is because of God's blessing showing me what it means and enabling me to be able to share it with you. So anytime there's anything good, it's all to God's glory. It's not on me. It's all thanks to God. Dr. Martin Luther, he wrote here, talking about, you know, in this part of the text where it's talking about the Word of God, thinking about the fierceness of the devil, thinking about the armor, thinking about the importance of the Word of God, he says here, it is not enough that we defend ourselves against the devil with faith and hope, but we must also draw the sword and go for him. What he means by that is to draw the sword, which is the Bible, and go for the devil. Then he says, since the Word of God is this weapon, it behooves us to become acquainted with it, both by means of public preaching and by earnest Bible study at home. Brief reading must be supplemented by careful memorizing of proof texts and strong passages. And then finally, he concludes and says, only in this way shall we be able to make the proper use of the Word of God as a true weapon of offense at all times. So it's so important that we know the Bible inside and out. God wants us to know it so well that when we need it, we're able to make proper use of it. Finally, it goes on to say then at the end of the text, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication, that is earnest prayer, for all the saints, all the believers, and also for me, Paul says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So I would ask for your prayers too, that you would pray for me, that whatever the situation God would put me into, that he would help me to know the word of God well enough and have the boldness to speak it according to whatever God would desire for me to say or do. Finally, since our enemies are so fierce, may God help us be faithful soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, now that we are more aware of the spiritual battle raging around us and even within us, we pray that you would cover us with your armor and help us to faithfully use your word and prayer. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.